When I was at the Azadville Jalsa over the weekend, last weekend, then one of the booklets that I picked up was a book titled Illustrious Predecessors of South Africa. And this book focuses on a number of pious individuals from the country. It's just been published. In fact, the first edition was a couple of years ago, but it's been republished. And this book has been an effort to document the lives of our pious pioneers and elders who laid the foundation for the establishment of Islam on our soil of South Africa. And we hope to go through this book just about 3 or 4 minutes before the 7 o'clock bulletin every day, focusing on the personalities that have been documented in this book. The likes of Mufti Ibrahim Sinjalwi, Hazrat Mulana Abdul Qadir Saab, Mulana Sayyid Zubair Ali Saab, Mulana Ahmed Muhammad Haturani, Abdul Rahman Mia, Mulana Yusuf Ahmed Kasuji, Mulana Ahmed Muhammad Garda, Mulana Muhammad Qasim Sema, Mulana Abdul Haq Umarji, Mulana Bayezid Pando, Kari Abdul Hamid Dodat, Chota Mota Desai, and Haji Ghulam Muhammad Ismail Padia. So those are the personalities that have been covered in this book, and I think it would be really apt and a good time for us to share with you information from this book. So we'll do that for about 4 or 5 minutes before the 7 o'clock bulletin every day during the month of Ramadan. The history of Islam in South Africa is really a rich history. The first Muslims arrived in South Africa in the Cape Colony as slaves. And this was in 1658. The Islamic date is 1068 after Hijrah. Most of those that arrived as the initial Muslims were from the Malaysian archipelago, as well as from Java and the surrounding islands. According to some researchers, Islam arrived in Cape by Musa, a half Ethiopian, half Quraysh son of one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and this was by the fact that he was inspired to propagate the deen. He headed off for Africa. His ship was wrecked near Cape Gallus, which he called Ra'asul Islam. Musa and his companions were saved by local Khoisan tribesmen who accepted Islam and established a town, Medina Al-Alam Musa, somewhere in Cape Town. This information was known to Moroccan academics for centuries. Similarly, there was a northern Transvaal tribe known as Balimba. They had mainly customs which are similar to those of Abrahamic traditions. Apart from circumcision, they never ate pork and always buried their dead in a shroud facing the same direction. According to two tribe members, the Balimba were originally influenced by dawah work of certain Zaid or Sa'id, who traveled southwards into Africa to propagate Islam after he met Sulaiman in Yemen. There are even reports of Arabic inscriptions on rocks in northern Transvaal. Eastern Cape Africans had a tribal structure similar to the Bedouin Arabs. So these are some of the points that have been taken from a book which is titled Condensed from the Spread of Islam in Southern Africa and its Impact on Society. So there's various thoughts and various opinions on that matter as to how Islam reached this part of the world. And then we have more documented information on people like Sheikh Yusuf, an exiled prince from Batava, and Imam Abdullah Qadi Abdus Salam. Both were around 1694. Imam Abdullah was around 1710. They were both leaders and great Sufis who kept alive the spirit of Islam in the people despite white owners who endeavored to Christianize them. The first masjid was built in Cape Town in 1207, Masjid Awal in Dorp Street, with a maktab having 500 children. In 1804, the British allowed freedom of religious practice in Cape Town. In 1838, slavery was abolished by the British Parliament. There were about 39,000 slaves in the Cape Colony at that time, Muslims constituting one-third of the population of the colony. In 1860, laborers were sent from India to work on the sugarcane plantations in Natal. They were brought at the cost of the Natal government and hired out to white employers for a period of 5 years, after which they could return to India and majority remained in South Africa. About this time, a certain Muslim trader, Abu Bakr Ahmed, who traded in Mauritius, decided to expand his business operations into Natal. Up to this time, all shops and trading posts were in the hands of white traders who exploited the local African population. Abu Bakr was a devoted Muslim, and he was scrupulously honest in his dealings with his customers. The story of success reached his relations and friends in India. And in a short time, other merchants, Muslims as well as Hindus from Gujarat, Surat, and other parts of India made their way to Natal. These immigrants, known as free passengers, came to Natal under ordinary immigration laws, paying their own passenger fee. Majority of these immigrants were Muslims. So that's some of the aspects with regards to how Islam was introduced to South Africa, and we'll continue speaking about that, and then focusing on personalities who were influential in spreading Islam. It's now 7 o'clock.